Welcome to Canberra Metalheads. You got Marky Malpas.
Benny Bamfagor.
Tonight we'll be catching up with the boys from Immorium.
Here on Canberra Metalheads.
Die!
Hello and welcome to Canberra Metalheads. That was Amorium with Ends of the Earth off their Universum album. It's always great to hear some Amorium, especially kicking off the show, start with some high energy, very talented musicians. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I love Amorium, man. They're great. They're really nice, melodic death metal.
Yeah, such a great bunch of dudes. We're just sort of still coming down after Heathen Fest. Such an amazing show and such a really cool lineup of bands as well.
Yeah, I got my Heathen Fest blues going on.
So we hope that everybody likes listening to the bands from Heathen Fest. So if you liked our intro track and you prefer some of the more heavier music, stick around. We've got Chambers of Insanity. Ben managed to pick up one of their albums, play new music on the show, and show you what we've been listening to lately.
Yeah, thanks guys for dropping that CD off. Definitely been spun a lot in my house so far.
Yeah, and also it was really great catching up with you guys. I mean, if you're ever in Canberra, we can definitely line up an interview because we'd love to keep chatting.
Yeah, they were so awesome. We love them.
So without further ado, here's Chambers of Insanity with Valhalla Gates here on Canberra Metalheads.
Thank you. Yeah.
Whoa, hope you enjoyed that. That was Gutter Tactic with Deep Throated Knife. Before that, there was Chambers of Insanity with Goliath Awakes. And at the top, we had Valhalla Gates, also by Chambers of Insanity.
There were three brutal tracks, eh?
Sounds like Ben had some fun listening to those tracks. Ben, did you like kicking the show off with some brutal tracks from both local and interstate bands?
Yeah, definitely, man. I love some brutal tracks.
It's always good to get everybody's adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, I was definitely headbanging way too much during that. I've actually probably got whiplash by now.
For once, Ben has whiplash, and it's not from my driving.
Oh, so. Let's not get into that right now, shall we?
It's an honour to be on the show and have such a great community set up so that we can play our amazing music that everybody supplied us.
Yeah, and if you guys have been following us on Facebook and everything and giving us likes and showing us support, you've all been tremendously great. We love you all. Thank you so much for all your support. We couldn't be doing this without you guys and all the bands as well.
Yeah, so massive shout out to everyone that's been with us from the get-go and all of our support that we continually get over the last few days and weeks. So it's been really good seeing everybody come out and show us what they've got behind the scenes. It's cool to see all these amazing bands and fans come out from the woodworks.
Yeah, it's definitely great.
Come out from the woodworks and support Mark and Ben,
the Metalhead Men.
Stick around for some more brutal tracks from both local and interstate bands. Just when you thought it couldn't get any heavier, we're closing out the end of this first bracket with some Hortopsy. This is Hortopsy with While You Were Sleeping, off their recently acquired by us album Blood Is Thicker Than Water on Canberra Metalheads.
Thank you.
Another amazing track from Claret Ash, that was The Great Moth That Swallowed the Sun from their The Great Adjudication album. Before that, we had Claret Ash off another album, The Cleansing, with Tides of Darkness. And at the top, you had a special two-package treat of Autopsy with High School Sweetheart and While You Were Sleeping.
I love Autopsy, man. They're so good. They're such a brutal band with such a brutal lineup of dudes as well.
Yeah, it's really cool to be able to play tracks like Autopsy on our show, because we cover such a broad range of local and interstate artists.
Yeah, that's the great thing about this show.
And also to have them release so many cool albums in their time. I mean, they've been kicking for long enough to put out multiple really cool albums. So,
and the great thing about Autopsy is they're just insane. Like, they've played with like Cannibal Corpse and people like that, and you just wouldn't expect it from just you know, an Australian band.
It's just cool to see the potential and opportunity that Australian metal in general has to offer.
Same with Claret Ash. Claret Ash is definitely a fan favourite of mine. They're brilliant. They're such brilliant, brutal dudes.
Yeah, no, the guys from Claret Ash are really cool, and I mean, a lot of the members from Claret Ash are also in other bands as well, so that extra dynamic of input. You can really tell in their music that they have such a great broad range of knowledge and skills.
Yeah, their music, to me, to define it would just be beautiful. Like, I can't describe it in any other way than just pure beautiful.
Yeah, I think that if I was to describe a lot of the music that we play right now, it's basically a movie for the blind.
Yeah, legit.
And you can really, I mean, if anyone's heard the earlier Claret Ash albums with Earth Dweller, very earthy black metal feels and sort of really in touch with nature. And yeah. They're still holding on to a lot of those heavy traits that they built their foundations on. So,
like the tree Claret Ash, they're building a lot of foundations with their roots.
Exactly, that's right. It's also a stamp of the area as well. You can sort of see that the Claret Ash tree is an Australian native tree, so that also shows, it sort of shows a little bit more about the band and their research that they put into naming their stuff.
And like the tree, they're a beautiful band too.
So that was Autopsy and Claret Ash. We're going to move it on now to a little bit of Amorium. We're going to have a chance to catch up with the guys from Amorium here in the studio, so stick around for a really cool interview. Also, to get to know a little bit more about the people behind the band.
Yeah, it's always good for you guys to, you know, and us as well, to know who makes all these sounds, the brutalness from it, and even the beautifulness from it. And it's just great to catch up with guys and them tell you stories and tell you how the foundation of their band started, so you actually know, you got some information on who they actually are.
Yeah, so stick around, listen to some more to find out more information about the amazing people behind the band.
To hear more and more of them.
Stick around for interviews with Amorium on Canberra Metalheads, Canberra's metal station. That was Amorium with Conscious. You got Marky Malpas and Benny Benfigore. We're joined in the studio today with the boys from Amorium. We got Jared, Dutch, and Dan. How you doing, boys?
Good. Going real well.
Yeah, it's good to hear. You guys enjoy the nice weather that we had coming in.
Yeah, I love brisk winters.
Yep, it's a perfect time of year, especially to listen to some nice Canberra metal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You guys are in multiple other metal bands, but it's good to have such a dynamic group in here today. So let's see if we can hear a little bit more about the guys behind the instruments and mics.
Sweet.
Everybody out there, stick around. We've got a cool interview with the guys from Amorium. We'll kick it off with our first question.
Alrighty, guys. So how did you guys meet? That's the question that it's on everyone's mind.
I guess Jared and I first got together back in 2007-ish when I was in Templestowe at the point. And we kind of just bounced off the idea that we wanted to play something and see where it went. And then that's pretty much how we started Amorium. It was mainly Jared and I just jamming, trying to figure out what we liked, what we listened to. That's what we bonded over mainly. And then we just started recruiting members from there. So I think our first show was 2009.
March 2009 the first show was.
Yeah,
there you
right.
go. Yeah. I think it was the 13th, something like that, around then.
Yeah, not sure. Something
which
like
was
that.
A Wednesday,
yeah,
by the way.
It was.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was an interesting show.
Had you, so that was pre-Tortured, wasn't it?
Gotcha. Yeah, that was before I joined Tortured. So I was in Templestowe at the time and I left there and wanted to start something on my own.
Yep.
So Jared and I started that up. We had a few band members there, played a few shows, which actually I played a show where it was Amorium opened, then Tortured, and then Deprivation.
That was the first show. That was the first show.
I don't think it was the first one.
It 100% was. I've got the flyer at home.
I've got the flyer too. But yeah, then I got asked. I got asked to join Tortured, and then a few years later, I got asked to join Deprivation. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Awesome. Yeah, no, like I said, it's such a great dynamic of like musicians today. Especially bands that I've seen like Deprivation and we've like Tortured, pretty lengthy careers as well. I mean, when you start pushing 10 years in the Canberra metal scene, you start to become fairly well known and
I think you're fairly sought after. I think I've been playing since I was 19. So that's, yeah, a good 12 years now up to.
It definitely shows in the drumming, man. The amount of times I'll hear a track and I'll be like, dude, who did the drums? They're like, before you say it was a Dutch. He came in to do that album.
Right.
Anyway.
Recorded the Clarodash album.
Yeah.
I've done some other work with Highview as well.
Yep.
Another Canberra band. Just filling in for a few shows here and there.
Yeah, cool.
I think one of the best things about Amorium, at least before even I joined the band, was the diversity of different music styles and musical backgrounds that came together. Like Jared comes from primarily a black metal background.
Yep.
And at least that's where at least I saw his music taste sitting. And, you know, he's got that groove side to him as well, which he never ceases to amaze me with every now and then. Pulls out a riff out of nowhere and I'm just like, dude,
thanks, mate. That's
where
really
was
nice
that?
Of you to say.
You're welcome, man.
No, it's good, man. I've seen Jared in multiple. I didn't realize until I put it all together, I'm like, I've seen a lot of bands with Jared in it. I've seen a lot of bands with all you guys in it. I think if we mapped it all out, I think that Amorium would probably have the most diverse list of like previous
pretty
band
much
members.
Man. And as well too, like even though all these other projects have been going on and all these other bands, Amorium still stayed true and strong in the background.
That's what makes you guys so great, that the fact you've got such like a diverse like team.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's it too. Like again, back to the diverse musical backgrounds, like all of those elements come into the music and shine through in the music as well. We're not just like a straight thrash band. We're not just like a straight, you know, melodic death band. We try and put bits of everything and, you know, please all sorts of different musical tastes, which makes writing a lot of fun.
Yeah, our musical backgrounds are very different from one person to another, you know, especially with we've had two bass players and three vocalists in total.
Yep.
We were one guitarist for a long time until Dan joined, which we were very grateful to have Dan come on board. He added such an amazing element when that came in.
A bit more depth, I can feel from
a lot more depth. The creativity and writing and possibilities just kind of opened up really well when we had Dan come in. So that just made our lives a lot more easier coming with the writing of the new album as well. At that point in time when Dan joined.
Morium was my first band too, which was pretty cool for me. I had a lot of songs that I just mucked around with at home and stuff and was able to bring them to the table.
Yep.
And the guys were open to those ideas and stuff. But I actually learnt so much with the guys as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, different playing styles and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I think the first days jamming in your little, you know, 2x2 shed in the backyard, I think Garden of Dust was born, which is still to this day like my favourite song. I think just from learning like different, you know, ways to play things with you was just like, we could do this, and then out came some cool music.
So it's like, it's funny, we get you in for Morium primarily, but we're also touching on like a bunch of other like history from Canberra Metal as well.
Yeah, especially if you look at the last, in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, you know, we've all been around doing different things, and, you know, like I grew up with the Templestowe boys, so that's where, you know, that was my first band, and like learning how to do all the drums and all that stuff back then. But then evolving and having Immorium as like that staple for all of us, you know, Jared's been in Immorium from the get-go with me, and he's, you know, done Claret Ash, and he's done a couple of cover band things where he's...
I remember early Tranquil Deception days, and I think it's just because you're hanging out with Aaron so much. I'm like, that dude has to be in that band. No,
I didn't play with Tranquil.
But like that was one of my first gigs at the Basement, was seeing Tranquil Deception in the early days, and that's when it kind of flowed on from there. I remember hearing first about Immorium kind of in that time when you hadn't done a lot of gigs during that sort of 2012 kind of period.
Yeah.
And
we're a bit quiet around there. That was about the time when we started Claret.
Yeah, yeah.
And when James moved to Canberra.
Yep.
Yeah, so there was a bit of a gap there for a couple of years because my commitments with Tortured took over pretty hard. So Immorium went a bit on like a little bit of a hiatus after the EP.
Yep.
We had our bass player leave and our singer leave shortly before that, and then we got new guys in. So there was just this little bit of a rough patch that we went through. But then, when around that time, we all had other commitments going. Jared had just, you know, started Claret Ash with James and was having a fun time there. He went and played Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had the guys from Claret. We had James and Nick, and we've heard some of the Japanese stories, man.
Yeah, good times.
Still, the favourite one is that one, finding the Francis Kana beer. He's got a photo of him hugging the giant Francis Kana schooner glass. It's an iconic photo. Like, if ever, that's probably going to go on his headstone when he dies.
This is Jared to a T. Japanese beer.
Finally
find a German pub. It's a pretty epic moment.
Yeah, that's it.
Bottle those tears for later.
No, it's got some pretty cool stories. I mean, you guys have travelled around and done some gigs, and I'm sure we'll get into that a little more later.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone through like a history of Immorium and how long you guys been doing gigs for and things like that. What's it been like playing the gigs over the years, and what's the history been like with other bands and things like that?
Well, in terms of doing the gigs, I mean, like, I guess every band starting out, you travel and you play some gigs to, you know, absolutely no one.
Yeah, yeah.
Done our fair share of those, as I'm sure most bands have. We've been interstate. I think our third show or something was interstate, so we've always kind of moved away.
Been a travelling band.
Yeah. We've played with heaps of cool bands as well.
I guess that helps with the dynamic of the band because you've got a fairly versatile sound. You can fit with multiple bands and fit a bill. I mean, I could see you guys with black metal, death metal, like some core bands as well.
That's absolutely right, man. And it's, again, one of those things that because we touch on so many different sort of genres, we don't really fit into a specific sound. We're definitely not like a hardcore black metal band, and we're definitely not like a sort of pop metal band necessarily. But the styles in there, sort of, you could put us on any bill and it wouldn't be too far away from the sort of overall theme of the night or whatever.
Well, that's a good thing, though. Like, that means that, like, when it comes to gigs and stuff, like you were just saying, it's a lot easier. Like, people don't have to worry as much about who they have to get.
I think when we got Dave in, that's been the biggest push for us now, is that Dave
creatively
now,
at least.
Creatively, we have a little bit more freedom with what we can do with our music now that we've got someone that can do the clean vocals that we want to put in there now. So expect some cleans on the new album.
Freedom, scope. as well. Like, we can touch on some different, like, some real melodic choruses or that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Some memorable lyrics that people can sort of sing along to, because everyone likes a good sing-along every now and then.
Yeah.
But again, like, we're not letting that take over our sound. We're not trying to redefine our sound necessarily. We're just sort of evolving the sound.
Yeah.
Adding an extra element.
But yeah, I mean, we, you know, previously we had Chris, and Chris is a phenomenal vocalist and still, to this day, one of my favourite vocalists that I've seen live.
Small shout out to Chris there.
Yeah, no, he was absolutely amazing on stage, and watching him when he was first with Synonymous as well, when Synonymous first came to the scene.
Yep.
You know, when I first joined Immorium, I was sort of like, oh my God, that guy's going to be my vocalist as well. Whoa. You know, like, that was really good. And Chris brought a massive, you know, heavy element to the band. But that, you know, forced us to sort of focus on some really heavy music. There wasn't much scope for, you know, doing the cleans. It didn't really play with the band. But now, because our music tastes are so diverse with different styled bands now we can actually make some music that we love that sounds a bit like this band or a little bit like that band. You know, we can sort of tick some boxes on our respective bucket lists.
Draw on our influences a bit more.
That's good.
More so than the modern styles, we've got lots of melodic death, you know, or at least what is typically known as melodic death.
Yeah. Opeth, Soil Work, In Flames, Dark Tranquility,
back
stuff.
Yeah, no, I like that feel, and also the idea of crowds getting into it. It just makes the whole gig get a different vibe and sort of influences that party feel.
We like to get the crowd involved, man. There's nothing worse than seeing just a crowd of people standing there with a beer in their hand and just watching. I mean, I'm grateful to see that, but I want people to actually, like, you know, be gritting their teeth and furrowing their brows and being like, yes, this is really good, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, running around bashing into people, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But going back to your, like, influence and stuff, who are your main influences that get, like, bleed into the band?
As a band?
Yeah.
And the sound of the band? I think Gothenburg bands, for sure.
Yeah.
Soilwork, Dark Tranquility.
In Flames,
Wolfheart, all kind of Scandinavian stuff.
Yeah, nice.
The music of the band tends to be most influenced.
Yeah, you can definitely hear that.
I think there's a difference between, like,
Insomnium, Omnium Gallerum, kind of...
I think the main difference is we have...
Death stuff.
We have the influences of what the band sounds like, but individually, collectively, we all have different influences there.
Yeah.
So what we get influenced by doesn't necessarily mean that we sound like this band or we sound like that band. We don't really draw elements from it, but we draw the idea and the ideology of that band.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I'll end up, you know, I'll find a really cool drum part, maybe in like a 70s rock song.
Yeah.
That I like go, oh, that's really cool. It's got a really good feel to it. And then Jared will have this really cool guitar part.
Something like Toto, more or less.
Yeah, something like Toto. Yeah. Uriah Heep, man. But yeah, it's
can't escape the Toto. Never escape it.
But you get that kind of stuff where we're not necessarily always drawing from a heavy metal. Yeah. It has to be Scandinavian. That's all we listen to.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. There's a lot of, like, you know, with the lyrics and vocal patterns and stuff as well on the last album, there's a lot of influence coming from, I guess, the Iron Maiden background as well, because that's where, at the time, that's where we were getting the influence from that kind of style there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can hear that in the lyrics and the vocal phrasing and stuff, but when you listen to it, it doesn't sound anything like Iron Maiden, you know?
Yeah.
So
no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No, I know what you mean. Like, you got your influences, but, like, that's not what, like...
That's another great thing about this band, too, is you learn something every day. I'm like, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that. I love Iron Maiden.
When I was doing the vocals and lyrics, and that's what we did.
Okay.
Yeah, and also you may be influenced by something that you don't necessarily know you're drawing influence from. Like you could hear, like, a really cool album, and next time you just accidentally sort of influenced by that sort of feel.
Funny story.
Mate, I get inspired by elevator music.
I've got a really funny story on that subject.
Yeah, yeah.
After the first EP we did, maybe 2010,
yep.
We got a review done, and we were likened to the band Bolt Thrower.
Yes.
And none of us had ever heard a note of Bolt Thrower
at
that point in time when we released it. And it was only last week we were listening to Bolt Thrower at work, and I went, oh, wow, that actually sounds like
earlier
the first EP. Yeah. I could just somehow manage to write, not the whole thing, but just certain parts.
Like,
the first one
was
a fair bit more death metal than
we were
now. But yeah, that was crazy, because we always just went, what?
Well, that sounds good.
Bolt Thrower, no.
Yeah. We write a song and be like, oh, that's a really cool riff. That's a cool idea.
Last week, I'm like, oh,
Oh, it sounds like Bolt Thrust. Whoops.
Bolt Throw a copy or something.
Yeah. Aren't they an 80s band or something?
Oh, they've been around, yeah, since the early 80s.
Yeah. No, it's that's a good example of that. And who knows, it's funny, like, the amount of times you hear a band just in a playlist or something, and you'll be like, oh, that they sung that song, you know, like, you'll actually be drawing influence from a band that you might not realize they might have covered a song or something differently, and you can get influence that way as well.
Oh, yeah, heaps of influences.
Yep.
Yeah, Dutch and I both really like power metal as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of power metal influence in the stuff that we're doing tomorrow.
No.
And the other thing is, too, the cross-pollination between bands. I mean, obviously, if you're recording for, like, Deprivation at the same time as you're gigging with Amorium, you can obviously get that same... Even if it doesn't influence the actual music, just the vibe of being with the other band members can also help, I guess.
Yeah, the constant, I guess, juggling between multiple bands and juggling multiple genres it's a bit of a fun challenge, because you can play, like, you know, for instance, when I was in Tortured, playing extreme death metal, and then the next minute you're playing a Deprivation gig, which is just really groove.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to go from, like, really fast to, you know, mid-tempo stuff, and that gives you a big kind of, like, idea of, oh, that I like how that feels.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love how this feels, and you can kind of cross those two things together if you can make it work. But... Mm. You know, the main thing is with our music is we want to make sure that whatever we do, whatever we write, that it feels good, that we can sit there and go, yes, that part there sounds excellent. It's huge. It has an epicness to it. And it suits what we're doing with that song at the time.
Yeah. Like, first and foremost, like, we write music that we want to listen to. We write music, and we write riffs, drum parts that we love playing live, because if you're not having fun on stage, then it's boring.
You've got to write
and we wouldn't play on stage.
Not for the fans as well. You've got
exactly.
To
so first and foremost is that, but, like, second of course is, you know, our fans and other people. We love. There's nothing better than having a crowd full of people just getting into the music and enjoying it as much as you do.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that element.
Yeah. Insert three circle pits of Dragon Force.
That's mental. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which leads us to the next question. I mean, obviously, you've had some big gigs over the time that you've been gigging. What's been your most memorable gig?
Probably would be the Dragon Force support last year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the first international support that Second. We had.
It was the first massive international support we had. The month before that, we actually played with Voyager from Perth, and they brought out the Algorithm from France.
Yeah,
so
right.
we played with them as well, and that was Davo, our new vocalist at the time. His first two shows with us were both international supports.
That's pretty cool.
No pressure, man.
No, he must
do a good job.
Anyway, sure, especially as a front man as well, jumping up on the vocals.
Yeah, no, Jared's absolutely right. That Dragon Force show was absolutely like a taste of, like, what we would love to get out of the band and, like, recharge the batteries, drove that inspiration to just pick up. You know, like, a lot of people will say, oh, you see these guys live and you just want to quit because you're just like, nah, they're too good. I'll never be that good. We sort of all collectively had the opposite to that. We were sort of just, like, so buzzed from being able to play to a sold-out crowd. And
adrenaline going mad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, dude. It was next level. I cannot tell you how, like, shaky we all were on. So at least I was shaky on stage, but it lapped that up.
It's good that you all had that same drive in unison, so it means that you guys have, like, a good dynamic and that you mesh really well.
Yeah, Morium's not so much just a band, it's also very much a family
yeah.
as well. It's not just, oh, we've got practice and gigs and stuff, and that's sort of all we see of each other.
Yep.
We're up in each other's grills all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Jared's bought a new rig for the live stage and stuff. I was over there yesterday afternoon setting it all up with him and everything. Yeah. Barbecues all the time.
I think that's a really big key thing for the Amorium dynamic, is that we actually make an effort to spend time with each other outside of the band itself. So rather than, as Dan was just saying, you know, it's not always just band practice, gigs, and that's when we only hang out. We normally have barbecues, catch-ups. Yep. You know,
I have to work with him.
Yeah, if Jared's working out somewhere nearby my place, I'll go over and say hi and see how he's going.
Yeah, that's really nice. That kind of thing. So that's really nice to hear, like, that you guys actually, like, really good friends outside of the band as well, because that really helps your band shape 100%, mold into, like,
100%
the great guys that you are. yeah. about the great music that you do.
I've known, I knew singer Dave, like I've known him for a good 5 to 8 years
yeah.
through deprivation. One of the first things he said to me when I first met him was, oh, you play drums in Templestowe. Oh, yeah, 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 you know. And that kind of stuff happens and organically and naturally. Yeah. And, you know, with Jared, you can hang out with Jared and, you know, talk to him about things that just relate between Jared and I or Jared yeah. and Dan. And everyone has their own little hangouts that they can do between each band member. It's not like this awkward, yeah. I really know the guitarist really well, but I don't know the vocalist and it's really awkward when we hang out. No, it's none of that. Everyone's yeah, good mates. Everyone can hang out together and stuff. Yeah, so
that's what you really want to hear.
Like, yeah.
It's such a tight network that you guys have got going as well. Like you said, you get to know people through other bands as well. So
yeah, man.
You've got a really, really good group.
I think we all feed off each other's enthusiasm as well. Like, you know, the Depp guys are like a renowned party band. Like I've never been to it. There's never a boring Depp show. Yeah. And I'm still surprised when I play on stage with those guys. Like I'm very much a new member to that band still, and they've been around forever, but the family dynamic rolls over to that band as well. I mean, the vocalist for Deprivation, Ben, works with Jared at the moment as well, so there's like that sort of cross family thing. The Claret Ash guys, I used to live with James back in the day, and you know, when we were both recording our respective first albums for each band.
Yep.
Yeah, Nico and I do things outside.
Were you living with Nick as well for a little while?
No, I wasn't living with Nick.
That was my brother.
Yeah. I remember.
But I suppose that's Canberra though, right?
Oh man, I think it was about 2014 maybe. I bought a bass guitar off Nick and I went round and I'm like, whoa, there's like several other band members that I recognise in this house as
pretty
well,
much.
Man.
It was like, I think the Namazai guys lived there for a while. Kyle,
that's right.
Kyle lived there. I mean, Kyle was the first one in that house and he had Simo, the bass player at the time, and Nick Tataris, who I think is still their drummer. And then a couple of other mates of Nick's moved in, and it's just been this like wash of people through that place. Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where the real estate has like a set list instead of a band list, like of tenants.
Yeah.
They just sign with the band name.
Yeah, that's
funny. What band are you in? I'm in this band.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's cool. I think the whole Canberra community is like that, with a sort of tight-knit group. And that's why it's so cool to have Canberra Metalheads kicking off with you guys and other bands as well, because we get to meet each other through each band that we're in. And it's
or at the basement after a few drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. mate, you can pretty much go to the basement at any time and there'll be somebody there that you will know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
If not, Trent will be there.
Yeah. And he'll know someone that you might know.
Yeah, talk to this guy.
That's your most memorable gig you had. Was there any others, like, aside from the
I reckon
Dragon
the
Force?
Second time we went to the South Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
At Maria. That was a great gig. It was, who else played? Ranatera, Synonymous, and
Terra Voris.
Yeah, Terra Voris, man. Those guys were a ripper.
Yeah, that was great. The guys at the front shaking the barrier.
Yeah, Terra Voris get a good little crowd,
after the show and bought heaps of merch and stuff signed.
They really support.
It was just a great vibe.
Yeah.
Great time down there.
Yeah, I hope that venue keep bringing those shows down there, because they do Bass Front as well. My mate who runs Raw Talent puts on Bass Front down there, and that place packs out.
Yeah, it does.
And it's so good. I just hope we can get to that level for a show like that down there, because it's sort of a halfway house really for everyone on the South Coast, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That venue gets lit up. And the other thing is too, it's fairly expandable. You've got like the whole outdoor area and things as well, so it's good to have that extra sort of option available and not that far from Canberra.
Exactly. I was about to say, it's not far away either, so you can sort of shoot down there, play the show and come home if you absolutely need to.
If you need to. Yeah. Or like, it's perfect if you've got like something Friday, Saturday gigs or something, you can just do it, make a weekend of it. It'd be pretty tiresome, but you get through it.
Further on to what Jared was saying before about like some of our favourite gigs that we've done, we've played a couple of shows with the Orpheus Amiga guys from Melbourne as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Who we're great mates with and looking forward to working with again in the future. But those guys have had us up and, you know, gave us an olive branch essentially. We were very much a new band, or like, you know, evolving band at the time, and they gave us that opportunity to play a couple of shows with them on their Partum Vita Mortem album tour cycle. We went to Sydney with them, and those guys, they really bring crowds and gave us all of the, you know, all of the praise and, you know, helped us out a lot with those shows. So
shout out to those guys.
Shout out to them.
Thanks, Chris. All the Chris's.
So where do you see More and Me as a band going? What do you want from this?
Well, I think we'd want to focus on, like, immediately the next album. get that out.
Yep.
Live wise, I think our focus is a little bit more interstate. While still playing Canberra, we've done a lot of Canberra shows recently, and I think probably Melbourne is our primary focus. The scene down there is just fantastic.
Yeah, Melbourne's got a really great scene.
For all sorts of metal, but particularly our kind of melodic death stuff. There's some great bands down there, and I think that's not only Melbourne, but is where our focus is.
Yeah, conquer it one city at a time.
I think there's a little bit more than
I think there's a lot of ground to be covered down there, and a lot of new fans to be made down there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's such a big city, so like, you definitely get a lot of fans.
There's so much talent coming out of Melbourne that we just absolutely love and would love to see come to Canberra more, but at the same time, you know, we really want to branch out down there as well, because we just want to have some fun, play some music in some new venues and make some new friends. And as far as the shows go, Jared's right, we've played quite a few shows in Canberra, and we don't want to overstay our welcome here either, because we don't want to keep playing to the same crowd all the time. We want to keep a bit of distance between shows, so that each time we do play, each show is a bit special, and those guys have had that break from us and like, all right, I'm ready to come and see Moran again, my fill. As well, it's about us exercising a bit of patience as well, because we're always keen to play, but we got to make sure that we're playing shows that, you know, we really want to be on, you know, and they're really going to help us move forward. So I suppose from the sort of, if you want to call it the business side of the band, we're sort of focusing on like trying to, you know, pick the right shows and not just play everyone we get, because we don't want to like saturate our shows in the scene too much.
Yeah.
To where we sort of become just like an overseen band, that sort of thing.
No, I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. You don't want to see us every weekend, trust me.
Yeah, I don't want to see us every weekend.
I don't even want to see you every weekend. Dot, dot, dot.
You see you every week at work, I guess. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think, and I mean, the further to the direction of the band, we definitely want to focus more on interstate shows, because we've played the basement heaps and we want to play some new stages. As far as writing's concerned, like, we are currently in the sort of pre-production stage. We're finalising some of the tunes that we've been writing, getting all those bits and pieces organised. You know, we're in talks with some studios to do the production and editing, mixing, mastering, all that sort of thing.
Yep.
And a couple other big things on the cards as well. We can't actually sort of disclose those at the moment, because nothing's really confirmed, but we've got some big plans in the pipeline that we're really looking forward to announcing.
Awesome.
But we have to play the waiting game on that one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, things confirmed, but can't speak.
Once it's all confirmed, we'd definitely like to have you guys on the show again.
Yeah. I think with the new album, we're going to have like a lot of different sounds coming through, different influences and stuff, especially with Dave coming on. We've grown a lot since our 2015 release of Universum. Played with a whole bunch of really awesome bands, done a whole bunch of shows. So the next album is going to be pretty big in comparison. It's going to be a lot more of a bigger sound. More production. Having Dave come in will open up a new realm of vocal capabilities that we can use and ideas that we've got there. And then we'll be working with a few really close people on the album from other bands that we're good mates with, and they're going to help with a few little bits and pieces here and there that we can't really disclose just yet.
Keep everybody asking for more. Teasing the fans a little bit.
That's what you have to do, right?
That's good.
Keep the interest there, so.
So keep your ears to the ground for some big news from Immorium. So aside from some big news from Immorium with, you know, potential prospects with bigger, newer albums and more information, what sort of upcoming gigs have you guys got?
July is a busy time for us. We'll have the Ashes to Dust hosting Vanishing Point for the first time in Canberra in many, many years. And we're also tailing with them to Sydney as well, with two shows back-to-back. And so in Canberra on 6th of July, which happens to be my birthday, hell yeah, gigs on birthdays.
Wicked.
We've got Vanishing Point, obviously Immorium. We've got the guys from The Ascended, and we also have Battle Bard coming down as well to join us for an awesome night, which is sure to be fun. And we're then hitting the road to Sydney with the Vanishing Point guys to play Metal Storm up in Sydney as well, which is a massive, massive show. There's, I think, something like 13 bands on that. Yeah, and some really big names. I I could run off a few, but I think I'll just let the event speak for itself. You can find it on our Facebook page.
If you could
page.
Plug that and just put it in the link and, you know, everyone go look at that. That'd be nice.
Yeah, for sure. So check out the social media for all those events.
Yeah,
as
man.
Well.
It's on our Facebook page. The events are there. And we've got a couple more to be confirmed, but yep. they're still in progress yet. And until they get announced, we sort of are under embargo not to say anything. So,
yeah, I can understand
again,
that.
Patience sucks because we just want to tell people because we're yeah. excited, but we've got to wait. We've got to do the professional thing.
No, it's good. Well, it's good to hear that you guys have so many cool prospects coming up to back up all the good work you've already done. And I know that everybody out there loves listening to some Memoriam and also some of the influences that you guys have had on the Canberra metal scene in general. So,
absolutely.
I mean, you guys represent some of the longest serving bands in the scene, and it's always good to have you on the show and hear about some upcoming things.
Good so, being here.
Yeah, thanks for coming
yeah,
thanks
in. For thanks so much for having us, guys. Surely yeah. won't be the last time.
No, yeah. definitely won't be.
No, for sure, especially with potential prospects coming up. We're always happy to spin some new tracks on the show. So, yeah, thanks for coming in. We'll have to have you on the show again. And we'll close it up now with some Memoriam. So play Garden of Dust off the Universum album.
Cheers, Canberra guys.
Metal
Cheers,
heads.
Guys.
Thanks, guys.
Keep it metal.
such a pleasure to have those guys on the show, and we'd love to hear from any other bands out there that would like to be on the show. So if you have any aspirations to be on the show, you'd like to have an interview, even if you have some music that you'd like us to play, definitely hit us up on social media. We can play out some of the music that you guys have. So if you ever wanted to get in contact, please reach out. We're happy to hear you.
Yeah, we really hope you do, because, you know, all the love that you give us, we give you back, especially to all the fans that listening to us and listen to you guys. It's great to just share everything.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. You've been listening to Canberra Metalheads. You've been with Marky Malpas and Benny Benfigore. Make sure you check us out on Facebook if you haven't already found us on social media.
And Instagram.
Just search Canberra Metalheads. Tonight we're going to close out the show with Inhuman Remnants with Solipsis 2. If you haven't already purchased a physical release of this album, obviously the pre-orders were sent out already, so there's a very, very limited amount left. So
make sure you get in there, because they only literally have a couple left. And you definitely want to get a hold of it, because limited stocks, which means that it's even more special.
So once these last few dry up, that's all that'll be in amongst humanity for the end of time.
The end of time.
Here's Solipsis 2 from our brothers at Inhuman Remnants here on Canberra Metalheads.
Keep it metal, guys.